Welcome to Veterans Connected, where maintenance and reliability expert and military veteran Eric Bevavino connects with fellow veterans in the industry during each episode, exchanging their experiences and discussing the transition from the military to industry and the resources that led them to where they are today. The Veterans Connected podcast is proudly produced by the industry's leading network and learning community, Mobius Connect. Eric, over to you.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Eric Bevavino, host of the Mobius Connect podcast focused on connecting military veterans to the maintenance and reliability community. Our aim here is to bridge the understanding gap between the military and civilian worlds, thereby improving the veteran transition experience and ultimately providing hope and a helping hand to any of our brothers and sisters out there struggling to find their way. We'll do this by interviewing veterans who have successfully made it through. For this session, we've chosen to interview one such Navy veteran, a graduate of the Naval Academy, the Diving and Salvage Training Center School, the Navy EOD School, and Tech Corporate America. Kathy Borkowski, whose fascinating and patriotic story is a must-listen for anyone interested in joining us on this mission. Hey, Kathy, thanks for joining us.
Awesome. Great to be here, Eric.
Yeah, where are you coming to us from today?
I am in Long Beach in LA now.
Long Beach, about an hour south of the fires, I think.
Yep. Luckily out of all of that, but definitely lots of friends and stuff that were affected. So it's a big bummer.
Yeah, super tragedy. Glad to hear that you weren't personally impacted. At a nice place in general to be in Southern California, right?
You can't beat the weather, that's for sure.
Right on. Maybe San Diego. I don't know. You know, San Diego and LA area probably have a little bit to talk about there. But yeah, so we connected through Laura Hatcher, whose episode will be produced here in a little bit from Mobius and LinkedIn. And I've been looking forward to this ever since we had our first call. A lot of territory to cover here. You have an amazing career and very interesting post-Navy sort of exploration, as well as what you're doing today for the SkillBridge program. So why don't we get started with that? Who are you? What do you do today? And what is career PCS? And then we'll dial it back to the early years.
Awesome. So I have a strong background in tech, and then also having transitioned and had utterly a horrible experience on the transition that we'll get into in a little bit. But I started with my co-founder, Andrew Towers, a company that just helps more veterans get into the SkillBridge program and more companies really take advantage of this insanely amazing program. So what we do is two things. The first one, we have a better website experience to find the right SkillBridge. Right now, the DoD site is not the easiest to navigate. And so we made one that was easy to navigate, careerpcs.com. And then the other thing we do is we just help more companies get into the program. Like every government program, there's all sorts of challenges and like, how do I apply? What do I need to do? And it takes like a big burden. So we just take all that off the companies so that when the service member is looking for, hey, what's my next step? There's more options. There's more things that they can do for their SkillBridge program. Because honestly, I am insanely jealous that people out now have the potential to like actually do some work and not just figure out what they want to do, but also figure out what they don't want to do. A lot of us come out thinking, oh, I want to do marketing or sales, or I want to be in tech or whatever that is. And if you can go into a company in that industry before you even get out, number one, you get a bullet on your resume saying that you've actually been there, done that. Huge advantage. But then also you get to know, do I like this day in the life? Because there's no civilian job I've found yet, and I've done a whole bunch of them, where it's like, oh, this is similar to my military experience. Great camaraderie, great work. Like there's always something different, right? So getting to see it, getting to experience it is a huge advantage for people getting out. And I just want more and more service members that are able to take advantage of the program.
This is great, Kathy. I mean, your experience and what you're doing with Career PCS I believe is dramatically needed out there. I think SkillBridge is not a well understood program. So if you don't mind, can you just take us through the nuts and bolts of what SkillBridge is and the advantages for the transitioning service member as well as any corporate entity that signs up to be a part of it?
Absolutely. So at its core, SkillBridge is the last 3 to 6 months of someone's time still in the military. They get to go off and basically do an internship with a company. And so on the candidate side, like I said before, like it really just gives you that exposure to what does a real company do? What does working in these different roles and companies and parts of the country, like what is that really like? On the company side, the potential value is enormous. So a lot of the times, there is recruiting and things like that for roles, or maybe they haven't experienced veterans in their company. And what I have found as a veteran, every time I always hire either veterans, grads, those into roles at my companies, and I have seen just massive benefit. People will literally come. When I was at Facebook, I hired 8 military veterans, and people who had never worked with veterans before were always coming up to me and being like, where did you get these insanely amazing people who can just figure out the hard things? I point them towards a problem and they go crush it every time. And I'm like, well, there's hundreds of thousands of us. We're not hard to find if you just know where to look. And SkillBridge is that opportunity for companies to get access to this talent pool, limited access, mind you, because like you can only do it if you're in the program. And if there's only 6,000 companies in the program and there's 35 million small businesses in America, you can do the math on how much lower competition you have against like all of those other companies that are out there. And then the like pure monetary value that like at the end of the day, it comes down to the bottom line for a company. If you can train somebody up while they're getting paid by somebody else, then you're going to save right there, you know, between $10,000 and $50,000 for their salary. And then on top of that, if normally you go through a recruiting company for your veteran resources, there's another $25,000 to $50,000. So you're looking at, as a company, $30,000 to $80,000 easy in savings by just participating in this program that just makes a massive difference in people's lives also.
Without a doubt, just thinking about the budgeting process, right? Budgeting to hire people. And this is something that doesn't need to be budgeted, right? If you are looking at out year budgeting of hiring 5 people, for example, next year, and you're involved in the SkillBridge program, you could start recruiting from that because the Department of Defense pays for it, correct?
Exactly. It's amazing that you can get an experience, and we call them interns, but they're not really interns. These are people with 3 to 20 years of experience, if not more, leading and managing teams, solving hard problems, all that kind of stuff. So like to be able to hire those folks and try them before you buy them, like it's amazing for companies.
Without a doubt. It's more of a temp to perm sort of situation because it's not like they're getting folks without any leadership capabilities or experience, right?
Exactly.
I mean, could be somebody who has 4 years of active duty, maybe a couple of years or reservist, or all the way up to 20 or 30 years of experience operating in foreign countries, doing mission accomplishment, crushing their goals and stuff like that. Now, not every veteran is the same. Not every veteran is an all-star, but at least you get a chance to try before you buy type of program with SkillBridge. And what are the typical, before we dial back to your career, since we're right in the middle of the SkillBridge program and we'll be able to tie these things back to throughout the conversation, but what are the biggest challenges that you see for both veterans transitioning? Let's start with that. Veterans transitioning and being able to take advantage of the SkillBridge program.
The biggest challenge generally that I see for veterans transitioning is you have this wealth of experience. You have all these great stories about how you've done all these amazing things, but you don't know how to put it into words or stories that are very relevant to where you're going or where you want to go. And then stack on top of that, the second problem that I see so many veterans face, I definitely faced it, is it's a change of identity. This thing that work, like I was my job when I used to say I am EOD, not I do EOD, I am explosive ordnance disposal. And you're like, okay, so that's an identity versus you go into the workforce and now you do things. Like sometimes you'll use the word am, but it's not as powerful. And so veterans have to first figure out, well, what do I want to be when I grow up? Which is like the age-old problem that everyone has. Stacked on top of that, I also don't know what's out there. I don't know what I'd be really good at, but I know, gosh darn it, I'd be really darn good at a lot of things. And so the SkillBridge program lets you figure that out. The biggest challenges to most people getting out is number one, knowing about the program, and then number two, knowing about it in time and getting command approval. There's all sorts of different things. Sometimes it takes education of your chain of command, like, hey, this is the value of this. And when you look at it from the leadership within these like commands and that, a lot of them are like, well, I'm losing a person and you're still on my books until you're done, which is a very short-term way to look at it. The long-term way to look at it is if I'm getting out of the military and I have an insanely amazing experience transitioning into the civilian job market, knowing what I want to do next, all of that type of stuff, I am a poster child and I am a vocal advocate for people behind me to get into the military. But if I have a terrible transition experience, if it's like, oh, this is the worst thing I've ever done in my life, I'm going to be much less vocal on like the true value of the military to people that would be very well served to serve in the military.
Yeah, great points all the way around. And it goes to the heart of the question of command support, right? Command support, well, you're still on my books. I need you to do this, this, and that, and the other thing. And that's all well and good. I mean, hell, if you're deployed in a war zone, you gotta do what you gotta do, right? Or even some of the other things that are super urgent and highly important in the military. But there are, let's face it, there are some things that are just like day to day and not critically important that you could give a person up and send them off to SkillBridge and do all the amazing things that you were just alluding to. And not only that, not only will they say, okay, the likely say the military and the DoD is a great place to learn and the transition experience was better because I learned about SkillBridge and I did this and that and the other thing. But you're also helping to keep these folks out of the realm of potential harming themselves, right? The suicide's a problem in the military. I mean, this camaraderie that you lose, the identity that you lose, the mental health aspects, forget about post-traumatic stress or combat stress. I mean, that just adds to it, right? But if you don't let somebody help themselves figure out what the program is designed to do that, if they know they're getting out anyway, calling them a quitter and holding on to them to the last minute is purely just selfish in every respect of the word. And that goes against service before self and taking care of our people, right? Because our people take care of ourselves in the military and out of the military, just as a country. So,
I agree
anyway, a little
so much.
rant there. Sorry.
No, I completely agree. And the other thing I would say is there is evidence all over the place about how transitions are the hardest point of every person's life. The one unique part about the military is we know when that transition happens. And so you can look at, they have study after study where they've looked at the data to say, what is the impact of this transition on this population, on military veterans? And the answer is it's bad. It's very bad. Like if you have a horrible transition, you're much more susceptible to depression, mental health issues, on top of all of the eventual, there's the self-harm epidemic, things like that. So like if you can smooth that transition, all of those outcomes become better. And I think the military transition, it's kind of like a microcosm for the rest of the country. If you look in tech right now, there's layoffs all over the place. And we don't know the impacts of all of these wonderful Americans because there's not like a clear, oh, this person is in the middle of a transition. Like, what's happening with them? Like, we don't even know what's going on there, but we can kind of infer it based on just how either absolutely amazing or detrimental the transition can be for military folks.
It's a great point, right? And one that I hadn't thought about. I mean, transitioning is transitioning. And in 2025, it's different than it was in 1985 or 1945 or whatever, right? I mean, not only the self-harm epidemic, but the loneliness epidemic, the tech that's out there that is perhaps, depending on, your opinion or experience, may be pulling, communities, not necessarily pulling them apart, but not bringing them together. They're virtual communities as opposed to, in-person communities, which is different, right? And there's transition. There's self-harm in the general population as well, right? There's layoffs and, and I mean, these things are perhaps a lot more brutal than a transition out of the military. It's like, hey, 2 weeks, today's your last day, or blah blah blah. Maybe if it's out of the blue, that's a shock to the system. What do I do? Oh, I got to get any job that's out there. I got to do this and do that. So, getting that smooth transition out of the military is really, I mean, the skill bridge thing is a benefit that not everybody has access to. And anyway, so back to either the misconceptions or challenges. We talked about the service member awareness, command support, understanding where I want to go, what I want to do, all that type of stuff. That's that side of the equation. How about the hiring company or the hiring manager? What are the challenges that you see? It sounds like your company was built to solve some of these challenges. So what do you see there from corporations, small businesses? I mean, divide it however you like.
So I would say the biggest challenge to the company and joining the SkillBridge program is the same exact thing with service members. It's number one, knowledge. What is this program? Most people aren't even aware of it, who would be insanely benefited by service members. I'm talking like everything from a small home construction business in rural somewhere, right? That a service member would love to go back to and love to help out. To a tech company that's completely remote and would be like the ideal place for a service member to land. Once you have that awareness, the second challenge becomes actually, okay, now what do I have to do? Because it's typically someone who's doing it as a side job. They're like their company's like, hey, you can put 10% on this program and that's it, right? And so it's a lot to figure out. And then finally, once you're in the program, it's not like, oh, now it just magically people appear in my company. You have to attract the candidates. You have to onboard them. You have to get people within your company to be willing to take on these interns and not just manage their time, but also like mentor them. You're not just a supervisor. You're also responsible for making this experience at this company absolutely amazing for this person and getting them up to speed faster because you invest that extra effort into them. And so Career PCS, we take as much of that burden off of the company as possible. We can make applications insanely fast and easy. It's a couple conversations with us, and then boom, your application, you're up and running. And the other part of it is once you're in the program, and we've got clients that are new to the program and also that have been doing it for a long time, we give them all the resources that they need. So that's handbooks, that's, hey, use this email template to get internal support. Or some folks need, hey, I need more marketing support. I can't afford to have my person traveling to every single hiring event in the world. Like, can you help me attract more of the right candidates? And so we take that off their plate. And then other folks are like, ah, my recruiting staff is swamped. I don't have this time and space to interview these candidates or assign them to people. And we take that off their plate. So
Oh,
it's very,
wow.
very a la carte, very, every company is unique and different. And so we can easily fit our very experienced services inside of their company. And that's kind of the company perspective. But one other thing on the service members I just want to call out that I think is really important. So we're talking about skill bridge, but transition generally is very hard. And we forget that we're not the first ones to do it. And then also we forget that there's an entire military veteran network out there who would love to help. I have never, ever in my life seen a group of, and I network a ton, Eric, a ton, but I've never met a group of people more willing and eager to help people behind them get to where they really want to go. And so the biggest thing I tell anyone that's transitioning, great, I'm so glad you talked to me. Now go talk to 20 other people over the course of the next 6 months to a year. Learn about their experiences. Find out why they decided what they decided. That military veteran network is powerful. It is the difference between me doing this by myself and me doing this with a group of people. And it's not just people you know, it's any veteran. I have talked to veterans in all sorts of different companies and industries, and they are all willing to help and actually eager. So if I run into a veteran, I'm like, oh, you're interested in this type of industry? I met another guy in this one. Why don't you go talk to him? And that person is always like, thank you for letting me help somebody else. Like, there is no better network to be a part of. It is truly like a brotherhood and sisterhood. It's amazing.
I love it. And it's as simple as getting a LinkedIn account and doing a search on, you know, Navy sales or sales Navy or sales Army, sales Marine, you know, substitute your civilian occupation and your service of choice, right? What you want to look at or Navy EOD tech, you know, whatever,
yeah.
Right? Use the power of tech and likely artificial intelligence at this point all over the place in these algorithms to help you get connected with people who will be happy to talk to you. I have had the same experience. I haven't had any veterans say, no, I don't have the time. Why don't you talk to somebody else type of thing? Just
exactly.
If it exists, I haven't come across it yet. So,
and I'll double click on the LinkedIn. So I heard this insane stat recently, and that is that only 10% of people getting out of the military actually create a LinkedIn profile. And that is like, oh, it's free. It's so easy. But I'll do one better, and I'll say even for folks that create a LinkedIn profile, if you don't put your picture up, if you don't put a banner, if you don't put your work experience in there, you don't look like a person. And so, of course, nobody's going to talk to you. And so anytime I talk to somebody who's getting out, I'm like, okay, you're going to do this for your LinkedIn profile. Just three easy things. The first thing you're going to do, create your account. You're going to add the basics. Picture, like the banner, not like the cheesy one that LinkedIn gives you. Just get a good banner up there. Your headline needs to be relevant for civilian people, not your military experience. I see a lot of people put like, veteran and like what they did very specifically, and that doesn't mean anything to civilian employers, right? And so instead, craft that headline so that you know people will want to talk to you if they see you pop up in your thing, and just go ask ChatGPT. Be like, this is what I did.
Right. Make it easy on yourself. You've got a personal assistant that, you know, knows a lot more than a lot of people, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And then the third thing I tell everyone to do is down in the experience section, you're not just going to put Army, Navy. At first I had Navy EOD officer. What does that mean? And that also doesn't tell you how I'm relevant. Like, to show you the depth of my experience that is relevant to a lot of other stuff. And so I completely shifted it. And now it still says Navy. It still says EOD. And then there's a little line that says small team leader, operations expert. Like, what are the things? And I just go, oh, but how do you know what things to put in there? Go look at job descriptions that you would be interested in doing and say, which ones of these are relevant, and grab that and stick that in the second half of your title of the experience. And then look at those job descriptions. What type of experience are they looking for? What are the soft skills? What are the stories that you can tell? And go make 2 to 6 bullets under every single one of your pieces of military experience. And get it in there, because now you're going to have search engine optimization. If a recruiter's searching and they're looking for that, you're going to start popping for it. But more importantly, anytime I've hired a lot of people and I don't look at resumes anymore. I go straight to their LinkedIn profile and I'm like, well, what did they do? Is this relevant? And I think a lot of people do that because it's easy. It's all right there. And you don't have to deal with the formatting of resumes and the PDFs and like all that kind of stuff. So you just go look. And if I was coming from any industry and I saw, oh, project management, I understand that no matter what you did. Or, oh, electrical safety, I understand that no matter what the specific title is that you have. So get it. So it's your pictures and your headlines so you look like a person, a really strong headline that's relevant to where you're going, not what you did. Just ask ChatGPT. And then experience that actually has depth so that people can look and say, oh, this is relevant.
Great, great advice. I mean, there's no better networking tool. I mean, we started later in life. I got a 15 and 16 year old. They're like, LinkedIn, you got to get off LinkedIn. That's for old people. Facebook is even for older people. But I used to say this when I was in corporate America, it never sold me a gallon of oil, but it created a lot more networking connections. And really, it's created the most networking connections for this podcast in the veteran community. So it is really important. And a note on the picture, right? I mean, it can be a professional headshot. It should be as professional as possible, but you absolutely have to have something, because there are a lot of scammers out there just trying to say, hey, I see on your profile you got a lot of experience that I'm interested in. Would you be my friend? You know, can we talk sometime? And all that type of crap, right? So you got to be careful too. So if I see a military photo that jives with your bio and you're asking me for some help, I'm a lot more likely to say yes than and not think it's some sort of Ford actor trying to, you know, gain access to my personal information, right? So make it credible. Great. Beautiful advice. Thank you for that, Kathy, on both sides of the equation, right? The hiring manager and the service member getting out. I think the number is 200,000 per year. That's some sort of average that I hear over and over again. So 6,000 companies are signed up on SkillBridge and there are 200,000 military members transitioning a year. I'm guessing those 6,000 companies can't take all 200,000.
They can't, but the number of service members that actually did a SkillBridge last year was 24,000. So we're talking 10% of people are using the program.
Wow.
Some of that is challenges with command or mistiming and that kind of stuff. But a lot of it is just, oh, I was unaware. Or, oh, it was too much paperwork to figure out and all that kind of stuff. So like there's plenty of room for more people to even in the current like companies that are out there. We just have to help them get there. Right. And so like that's why we started our company.
So it sounds like in a nutshell, you take a company that either a service member or a company, but on the company side, company says, yes, I hear this podcast, I'm interested, I want it. I'm going to call Kathy and see what her company does. And basically you provide them with a seamless sort of low effort sort of service to become the SkillBridge provider. Is that basically it?
Yep. We make it so easy, so easy. And if they want to send me a message, it's just Kathy@careerpcs.com and it's Kathy with a K. And I love, even if you're just thinking about it and you're not sure what, if you really want to, like, let's have the conversation. Let's talk about it. We've seen so many different sort of scenarios and stuff. Like I want to just at least give companies guidance, even if they don't end up using us, like everyone should think about it at least.
Right on, right on. And here's another tidbit. Actually, this came out of our intro call when we spoke about it. If you're a veteran within one of these large organizations today and you're looking to bring SkillBridge in, I mean, now you have a reputable company that can help you out with that. Another thing to do or to discern, I think the veteran employee resource groups that are out there, the community groups that are within these companies, I mean, are a great thing. you know, I enjoyed the ones that I was a part of. And it's also a little bit of a litmus test to see how much your current corporate culture is truly invested in the veteran community. So if there's a seamless, fairly priced option to get into it quickly, and there's still a bunch of red tape and a bunch of hangups and people aren't sure, and it just goes on and on and on, then, you know, you might be existing in a culture that is sort of faking it, perhaps faking the military support. Faking is probably a harsh term, but I mean, I'm just going to say it like it is. I'm from the Northeast, right? Faking it. And you might want to dig in or ask why. Maybe something that's not faking. Maybe it's just whatever that could be remedied by bringing in careers, PCS, right? So,
and I'll tack on to that and say, a lot of the times people think it's more work and more effort than it really is. The other thing I'll say, if you're a veteran in a company that does not have a SkillBridge program right now, and you're like, I want to be a rock star, I want to seem like the go-to person for insane talent. And like again, when Facebook, I became a rock star because I hired rock stars. I'm like, I didn't do anything. I just brought in the right people. And they're like, yeah, but you're still a rock star now. If you're a veteran that wants to be that rock star, get SkillBridge into your company, and it will pay dividends on your career as well.
Well, the companies that win, the people who win, are drawing the right sort of talent, right? Otherwise, you're just, I mean, you're looking at a resume or you're looking at a LinkedIn profile, and yeah, it's got great information, but who is this person really, right? So, I mean, I've seen it in my career, you've seen it in your career. If you can hire people you already know and trust, you've worked with them before, you've worked for them or they've worked for you, you know what they're all about, boom, that's a plug and play, right? And in this sort of system that we're talking about, gets you a lot closer to that, right? It gets you a lot closer to that without having to have, you know, a Rolodex. It's an old reference, right? A contact list. Yeah. Contact list of a million people to draw from. So fantastic. Well, Kathy, we've talked a lot about where you're at today so far. We didn't talk about like where you grew up, how you got interested in the Navy, what you did in the Navy, and even as interesting as that, like how you transitioned and in what companies you went to. So why don't we go to that next, and then we'll try to pull it all together after that.
Awesome. I had a unique start into the Navy in that my parents met in boot camp, and they crushed it in their careers. So they, Master Chief, Warrant Officer, they were just rock stars in the Navy. And so when I was like thinking about colleges and stuff, I lived in Virginia. I was like, I want to go to UVA, Virginia Tech. And my dad was like, have you heard of the Naval Academy? I'm like, no, what is that nonsense, Dad? Don't try to trick me. And then he got me a t-shirt of the Naval Academy. And I was like, this is a cool shirt. I like this. And that was what basically got me just very interested. And so then I started doing some of like the summer programs and all that kind of stuff until I was like, this is the only school that I want to go to. Had a really good 4 years. I played rugby there. I ended up on the national team. Like, it wasn't just like the college experience was great, but leadership, that you learn so much. And then you also get to do these things that like I wouldn't have done if I was at a regular school. But man, I am so thankful for all that experience. On graduation day, because I had an enlisted mother who was a Master Chief and my father was a warrant officer, my dad got to swear me in and my mom got to be my first salute, which is awesome. It was just such a cool experience. Although my mom, who was a corpsman, was like, yeah, EOD, like the most dangerous that right. I've gotten. And she's like, I know what happens here. And I was like, oh, yeah, sorry, mom. So then went to dive school. And while I was in dive school, 9/11 happened. And so basically the career I thought I was going to be doing took a hard pivot. As everyone knows, like with Iraq and Afghanistan and all that kind of stuff. Like IEDs were really big, and all of a sudden EOD is using robots and doing all this kind of stuff, which is absolutely amazing. I was in Iraq for a year. I did a Philippines deployment that was also a part of OEF. It was amazing. And like the teams, the people that I got to work with, rock stars. Like I cannot even begin to tell you. Like I love, like, and your team was your family. Like deployed with them and you're spending 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 6 months. Like that's it's a long time to spend with folks, and you really get to know them and like all of their family stuff. So I loved that part of the experience. In 2008, you'll notice throughout my career, my timing is horrible. So I got out, I was in Guam at the time. Got out of the Navy in 2008, did a 2 day TAPS in Virginia, so completely away from anything, knew zero about what I wanted to do, like literally nothing. I had just been told, hey, you were at the Naval Academy, you're an EOD officer, you are the gold standard. Jobs for you is going to be a cakewalk. And then the Great Recession happened. So that did not work out well for me. And I'd still like, I'm applying for all these jobs and I have no idea what I want to do. No idea. And so I took, like we all do, I'm like, let me take this. I found this book in a college library and was like, let me take the quiz. It's like personality based, what I do in my life. And it, based on your personality, Kathy, you should do sales, marketing, or stunt double. So, like every sane person, I picked stunt double. I was living on the East Coast at the time.
I love it.
Within 3 weeks, I had packed up my car and I'd driven across the country to LA because I knew I had to be where it was happening. But not having any clue whatsoever about what I knew, nobody in stunts, movies, nothing. And so this was where, so I mentioned that I do a ton of networking. I used networking to a ridiculous degree because I was like, I want to do stunt double so bad. What do I do? If you were standing next to me in line at the grocery store, chances were high. I was like, hey, do you know anyone in the film industry? And
Right. Your kids love it when you do that, by the way.
Oh, I mean, over and over and over again until one day, 2 weeks into my search to find anyone that could tell me anything, I was at a barbecue of my sister's and I'm talking to her husband who's like, hey, did you know that my best friend's uncle is a movie producer and he can probably answer some questions? So we're talking my sister's husband's best friend's uncle, multiple degrees away, is the person who was like, hey, yeah, move to LA. Let me introduce you to an actual stunt coordinator who's out here. And that started me on my journey. And it's just being willing to talk to people. So I did stunts for 2 years, which is just like a giant exercise in getting to be known and doing a ton of training. I did diving stunts for the Titanic 2. Don't watch it. It's not good. But I did the next
Diving
thing you
stunts are
can. So
amazing, though.
they needed me to do the diving because it did not stay above the water. And I did a couple commercials and things like that. And it was awesome. I had an amazing time. Eventually, I was like, yeah, but it's not exactly like super stable. And I wanted to move to San Diego. And so I had to start all over again. Okay, now I want a regular job. How in the heck am I going to do this? I've heard of the government contractors, Booz Allen, Deloitte, all of those things, but how do you get in there? Jumped right on into LinkedIn and just contacted every veteran I could find and be like, hey, can I get your advice? I'm looking at my next career. Bumped into a 91 grad from the Naval Academy. And he's like, yeah, let's have coffee. I'll talk about it. After 30, 60 minutes of a chat, he's like, hey, I don't work for Booz Allen, but I subcontract to them. And I was wondering if you'd like to work for me to write proposals for them. I mean, we're talking a coffee. I had coffee with this guy. And now all of a sudden I'm getting a job offer. Like, that is how fast the veteran network can work.
Speed of
And it turned
trust.
out to be. Exactly. Well, I mean, Naval Academy. He was a SEAL. I was EOD. There's just like thing after thing where like I know who you are at your core, and so I can make assumptions and I can know that you're going to crush it, right?
Right.
6 years of building a company with him. I was employee number one. By the time I left, I was the chief operating officer. We had 30 employees. We had closed something like $2.5 billion worth of contracts for our clients.
Wow, that's impressive.
The opportunity. And it was interesting because we're writing for pro. I was an aerospace engineering major in school and I hated my English classes. And now here I am managing projects and editing proposals. I'm like, this is not what I was expecting. And yet veterans figure it out. Veterans just figure it out. And I hired so many academy grads and veterans to that company, and every single one of them absolutely crushed it. And we're talking surface warfare officers, army infantry, like they all did an amazing job in this like very different world. It was awesome. Fast forward 6 years, we move up to the Bay Area, and I'm working remotely for about a year, but we live a mile from Facebook's campus. And I was like, oh my God. And I got to have lunch there and I got to have snacks. And I was just like, this is a thing. You can work at Disneyland. Oh my God.
Bring your dog, play ping pong, shoot some pool, take a nap. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And the work was fun and everyone was so excited. And like, I knew. So there's people who are like, I want to get into tech generally. And like, you go talk to all the veterans. I was like, no. I want to get into Facebook very specifically. And I have no idea what any of these job titles mean. I have no idea what to even apply for. And so back into LinkedIn I go and I'm connecting with every single veteran at Facebook saying, hey, can I get 50% of your time? I just need some advice. I'm trying to understand what works for Facebook. 16 calls later, I hit on, and I learned a ton. It was awesome. So as I'm going through this process, I realized, oh, if you talk to people, you learn how they refer to things. I'm learning the language. I'm learning what's important to them, what skills this company values. I didn't do that on purpose. It was all accidental. So by the time I get to the 16th guy, I'm telling my story in terms that Facebook people understand. And he was like, oh my God, there's an open role for a hiring manager that I have. Do you want me to connect you? I was like, yes. Yes, I do.
You just explained the template of if you have an organization that you want to go to work for as a transition veteran or anybody going through a transition, go talk to people. It feels like it's all about us because we're trying to, present the resume and the LinkedIn profile and stuff like that. But guess what? It's as much about us as it is about them, and vice versa. And understanding lingo is so important. I mean, these are critical qualities in high level sales as well. You perhaps picked up some of those interviewing tidbits and that experience through your stunt double efforts, right? And then your proposal writing efforts and your business efforts. But man, what a great template. Call, talk to somebody, connect. Understand it better. Hell, if you have 3 out of 5 people around the table that vote on your side, you're going to win, right? You're going to get the job. Now, be careful what you wish for sometimes. I mean, and you'll better understand it too, right? You won't be going in totally blind. You'll have a better idea of what the corporate culture is like and, what you're signing up for, right?
Exactly. So the best book I ever read in my entire life. And I funny enough, I picked it up on the just before I got on the airplane to fly to Iraq. And it was How to Win Friends and Influence People. That book, I mean, it changes your life. And the reason informational calls work so well, you're getting someone to talk about themselves. And the more they talk about themselves and how great their experience is and they're happy and positive, the more they like you. You're like, oh, this person thinks I'm very interesting. And so like you build these relationships.
There is a psychology behind it, right? Well, how was the call? It was great. What was the other person like? Well, I don't even know what they do, but it was a great call. They listened so well,
Oh
right?
yeah. They're like, I don't know, but they're awesome. You should hire them.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take it. Yeah. But in this, so in this, it's funny because the last call I had, he referred me to a West Point grad who was hiring in Facebook's data center. So I'm in this interview and I'm talking about all my project management experience and he loved all of that and all that kind of stuff. I did not know what a server was. I had no idea. He's like, do you know what this is? I was like, nope. And he's like, that's fine. We can teach you that. But what he can't teach, and the reason that I did well in that role is he couldn't teach how do you go solve a hard problem. He had this, I was my first project. They're like, we haven't been able to crack this for a year. There's a guy we're trying to talk to, and he's like literally our roadblock. And so I was just like, oh, let me, I sent him some emails, which is what everyone had done. And then I looked up in Facebook systems to see, well, where do people actually sit? Come to find out, this dude sat three rows behind me. My roadblock was just a couple desks away. And so I just walked over and I sat on his desk and I was like, hey, I heard you're this person. Like, can I talk to you? And he was like, oh yeah, absolutely. He was super friendly. But it was just because as military experience wise, I mean, every job I've ever had, I got picked up and plunked in the middle of something. And I'm like, go figure it out. Go talk to people. The civilian world does not train that skill. The military world trains it.
Yeah, and it's only going to get worse, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Right? Because with cell phones and, you know, not being able to talk to people, being dropped into those situations and succeeding and really having the, you know, not only the experience in doing it before, right? You drop somebody in Iraq, they've got a counterpart. Afghanistan, they have a counterpart. They're working in their service. They have to develop relationships. They need to understand what the new job is. If you're in a staff position, EOD officer, and then all of a sudden you're doing something that's not bomb disposal, but, you know, your skills are important, but you may be briefing on intel, or you got to understand what the hell it is they want you to do and how to do it. Right before you can go accomplish it. And yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
This is a great point. I mean, there are some consistent themes in this podcast, but I don't think anybody has articulated as well as you have, so far in describing your experience. Okay. So this was roadblock at Facebook, and you discovered that the person was really nice and was not the evil whatever that maybe they were made out to be. They were three rows behind you and you could sit down and chat with them like a normal human being. And how did it go from there?
It was great. The whole project was solved like 3 weeks after that. Like, that's how fast it works.
Nobody can do it.
Exactly. And like my hiring manager was like, thank you. That was amazing. And I was like, thanks, I guess. Yeah. And what's interesting, so Facebook has a lot of different roles. And during my time there, I actually switched, into a completely different role through more networking. So then once you're on the inside, I just kept talking to more veterans until I ran into who is now one of my very best friends, a Navy pilot who was running the advertising help center side of the house. We connected really well. She's like, I am looking for a project manager. Can you come help? And I was like, absolutely. So I switched into that role. And what was amazing, that's where I learned how do you build software products, because I owned basically a site that Facebook didn't care about. And they didn't care about it. I mean, they cared about a little because it only got 20 million views a month. And you're like, I'm sorry, did you say 20 million? Okay, so the scale of things at Facebook is so different. And so I got to cut my teeth on how to make this website exponentially better, integrate AI and ML, do a full redesign, think about the navigation, all of these types of things as basically a project manager for 20 million users a month. It was wild. We did one project where just by being able to serve different things, we ended up essentially unblocking $150 million in revenue for the company over the course of a year. So like the scale of things at Facebook is amazing. And from there, like that really, like, it's a great example of if you're thinking about a transition and you say you have three companies offering for you, one is a really, really well-known company and there's two little ones, you can always go to a startup. You can always have that experience. If you can get that behemoth on your resume, so if someone grabs it and looks and like, oh, you were at Facebook, you were at Google, you were at Procter & Gamble, like pick your big name in whatever industry, that basically becomes the thing on your resume that opens future doors for you. So I got very lucky that way. And since then, I've been head of product at a startup where I got to run half their advertising operations plus all of their website development. I've worked on a mental health app, which was absolutely amazing. And then a couple of other companies until I gained so much experience in building products, doing the marketing for them, just working with people in this like scrappy sort of world that this is. And then I was, when I met my co-founder, I was like, yeah, let's go do, we can do this. And I feel really confident doing this rather than like hesitant to do it. Like building a company now is awesome and fun and exciting because I've had this depth of experience. And I know at any time I can lean on my resume to like help me get other future things.
Have some insurance there, and you learn the language of business through the experiences. And I think a key nugget here is we talked about, you know, making sure that resumes and profiles are relevant across the divide of the civil and military. I think, because I experienced this as well, that this solving hard problems in a systematic fashion really is akin to project management. Whether you have a PMP certification or not, this may also be a thread that we haven't pulled on this podcast yet of project management. Because in at corporations that I've worked at, you know, people who were assigned as project managers, and they didn't necessarily need to have any depth of understanding of what the project, if they did, it was fine. I mean, IT project managers, it helps them get up to speed faster. And the more specialized that it is, but you're another example of becoming a project manager with little experience in what the actual task was, right? And then diving in, talking to people, learning it, sticking to it, figuring out how to accomplish the mission, kind of on your own, right? Like, or what was the process? So perhaps this is something that in the military leadership style, and I still believe the U.S. military is the best leadership school in the world until I come upon a different one. But in any case, what I'm trying to say here is that project management is something that most veterans who are leaders and who have been successful come with. So don't worry about putting it on your profile or putting it on your resume. Or if you are worried about it, go get the PMP certification. Learn how to use Microsoft Project, right? And associations and everything like that.
See,
and
I would push back on that, Eric.
Okay, awesome. All right.
I'm on that one. So there's two schools of thought. Anytime people are getting out of the military, the first thing they hear is like, oh, here's how you can get this certification for free and this certification. And then so people hyper-focus on a certification.
Okay.
Best thing I ever did was not any of that. And I didn't get an MBA right away because I didn't know what I wanted to do. So like, what am I even going to focus on? Experience is the best teacher. And so like, even with SkillBridge, half of the people that did a SkillBridge last year actually went and got certifications instead of company experience. I personally think you're shooting yourself in the foot because
you're
not
nice.
Building a network. You're not learning what the work really is. You're just like getting a thing. So I would say there's two camps. If you're going to go work for the government, if you know you're going to work for a government contractor, awesome. Go get all the certifications you can because that is how they pick people, exclusively based on certain experience for years and then certifications. The civilian world, they might say they care, but they sure don't. There's a reason, like nepotism is a thing. You bring in a person without experience and they can learn it and everything. Like, or it's kind of like veterans bring in other veterans because I know you can figure it out, not because of a single credential that you have. And so if you're thinking about the civilian world, don't focus on certifications unless you need to. Go get that experience. If you're going to spend a year inside of a company. And even if it's like my dad's uncle's business, whatever, great. You now know marketing, sales, operations, and that's experience you can take somewhere. That's experience people want versus, oh, you got a PMP. Like if you're going into the civilian world, experience almost always trumps the certification.
Right on. Well said. Thank you. I'll take that pushback as a rugby tackle.
Yeah.
That's all good. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Kathy, for that. And the nuance between government and civilian jobs, super important and not highlighted on this show before. So rock and roll. Okay, so does that lead you then to where you are today? Have we come all the way around the horn?
The only thing I haven't talked about is how, so I was giving back a ton. When I was at Facebook, veterans would call me all the time and be like, hey, how'd you do that? I'm like, sit down, let me tell you some stories. And I was like, well, this is great one-on-one, but what I'm not doing is a one-to-many approach to this. And so about a year or two ago, I just started posting on LinkedIn, a ton of content on like how to transition, how to really do these job interviews. And all that to say, if you're starting a transition, follow me on LinkedIn, Kathy Borkowski, just follow me and like all my stuff will like watch the videos, do the things. But even the like one to many, it's funny. I can't tell you how many times I went to a Naval Academy football game last year and I've been doing this content for a year or so. Three different people walked up to me. I don't know these people, right? They were just like, oh my God, you're Kathy. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure I'm Kathy. Thank you. And they're like, no, I follow you on LinkedIn and you helped me get a job. I was like, what? It worked? And they're like, yeah, yeah, it worked really, really well.
Like, well, and how'd that make you feel?
Oh, awesome, right?
Like, right.
I mean, you post on social media, like I'm just screaming into the internet. Like, what does that matter? And it turns out it matters a lot. Right. And that knowledge that if we put stuff out there, help people change their lives. Oh my God, that's amazing. I was like, I want to do this all the time. And so when Andrew, my co-founder, was like, hey, Kathy, do you want to do this thing? I was like, first of all, what is SkillBridge? Second of all, 100% absolutely. I want to help as many transitioning service members and veterans as I possibly can.
Well, and part of your identity is given back, right? Mom, yeah. Veteran, you know, sister, brother, whatever, all of it combined. It's not the uniform. It's not the insignia. It's not the ribbons. It's who you are, right? So,
yeah.
I'm super grateful and thankful for you being here too, right? Because this is a podcast focused on transitioning and making sure people cover that gap. I truly believe, not only from listening to you, but seeing some other stuff on LinkedIn too, there is a community of dedicated veterans towards the transition, for the transition process, that it's a little bit of a loose confederacy, and maybe you're the person to bring it all together, Kathy.
I hope so. Well, yeah. The one thing I'll say to folks getting out, and there's like so many different programs that you could pick, just pick one. It does not matter which one. They all have really great advice. If you want to pick a couple, do that. But commit to it. Like I see a lot of folks sign up for things and then they don't like do the stuff. Maybe they don't go to the meetings or the whatevers. Like pretend it is a job. Like you finding your next job is a job. And there's so many great organizations out there to help you do that. Find one, commit to them, and like get out there, tap into their networks and just crush it.
That's another thing I love about most of the veteran community, that it's peer support, not competition, right? Yeah. And we're out there to help each other because the rising tide lifts all boats, not to use a Navy reference, but yeah. All ships, right? Not the ones that we were on. They were small enough to be called boats, but perhaps so. All right, Kathy. Well, we're getting close to the end of our hour. I want to be respectful of our time, and I want to make sure that we cover anything that you wanted to communicate to the listening audience here. So what haven't we covered yet that you still wanted to say, or did we cover it all?
I think we covered a ton. Let me just button up one thing, and that is, how do you transit to transition successfully only takes three easy steps. It takes read a book, do a thing, find out about that industry. When I wanted to get into product management, I just bought a bunch of books. I read them. And what does that do? It gives you language, gives you words. The second thing you do is what we've already talked about, and that's informational calls. Get advice from other veterans. What in the heck are you doing? Because then you're also taking all those words you just learned, and now you're able to tell your story in those words. You're hearing more of the words that you need to be using. And then the third and final step is don't just talk to peer level people. Now start networking with people above that who would be hiring for roles that you want to do. So you're basically learn the stuff, figure out what you really do, and then talk to the people that are actually in the hiring positions. And there's a ton of veterans in those spots. And you will be shocked at how much you don't have to follow that advice you always hear, which is like, oh, sometimes you have to take a step back to go up. No, we're used to crushing it. We're just going to go over or up immediately if you follow that thing, if you follow that 1, 2, 3 step.
I love it. Words of wisdom.
Distilled,
yeah, distilled down to the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, but really, really highly valuable. So anybody listening to this for free is getting more than their money's worth for sure out of this interview. And I think that is good. Thank you, Kathy. I sincerely appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and help us on this mission. So how can people get a hold of you if they want to learn? I think you mentioned before, but let's go ahead and do that again.
So follow me on LinkedIn. It's Kathy Borkowski. You can probably get my name off of the title of this podcast because my last name is not easy to spell. And then if you're a company who's seriously considering how do I hire more veterans, let's have a chat. And that's just Kathy@careerpcs.com.
Right on. Easy day. Okay. Well, thank you, Kathy. A couple short notes to our listeners before we wrap up. First, we want to personally invite you to join us in Milwaukee in September of 2025, the 8th and 9th, for Mobius Connect Live. It's one-of-a-kind event packed with real-world applications and valuable connections with fellow CVM practitioners and reliability professionals, condition-based maintenance, CBM. I'll be hosting a special live episode of Veterans Connected at the event. This is a unique opportunity for us to come together, share stories, learn from each other, and dig into what it means to be a veteran in today's industry. So mark your calendars and register now. Can't wait to see you there in Milwaukee. Second, to round out our show, we're seeking more veterans like Kathy who have experience and more wisdom to provide, as well as recently transitioned vets. If you know former service members, you too, Kathy, this is for you as well, they'd be interested in telling their stories, please send them our way. So thank you, Kathy. And thank you to Mobius for providing this platform to help transitioning vets as well as those seeking to hire them. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Veterans Connected. We'll see you back for another episode very soon. In the meantime, we hope to see you in the Veterans Connected community group where you can meet Eric and fellow podcast guests and share with other industry veterans at MobiusConnect.com. We hope to see you there.